creature of the night, Michael.
You're a vampire, Michael.
Hi, and welcome to the season's finale of The Infected. Halloween is almost upon us, and once more we have arisen from the crypt to serve up an extra-large selection of appropriately themed tracks. Did you recognize the sample? We'll tip a classic movie about eternal life, and we'll even have an interview with the vampire, or indeed several vampires, who love blood and wine. And on that note, we have a world-exclusive track for you. Because in this episode, for the first time in public, you'll be able to hear the track that gave the band Of Blood and Wine their name. A world premiere. We are super excited to bring this to you tonight. But first, we express our undying gratitude to several of you, our followers, who helped us to exhume tonight's most excellent songs about vampires and blood. Love like blood.
I'm running fast and alone.
It's a track that I still listen to this day, and I like the floating synth sound, by the way, in the background. I'm not sure what makes this so powerful. Maybe it's the pumping bass playing as well. It's a true 80s anthem, if you ask me.
Yeah, and it has this drive. The drums are great. They really, you know, push the track forward. It's like a real energy that's coming off of this track.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the extended version of 6 minutes and 45 seconds is, I think, a better length than 4 minutes for this song.
Personally, you know, I wouldn't mind 12 minutes.
Yeah, me neither.
But yeah.
Energizing stuff.
Yeah.
It was also a hit, right? Back in the day, from the start.
I think this actually is probably their most well-known hit. It's also something that was a hit for them outside of their home country, England. It was their greatest hit and only chart entry in Germany, in Holland, and in New Zealand as well. So I always think this has been a hit around the world, but those are actually the only four countries outside of England that were really into Killing Joke and Love Like Blood.
It's if you can play this live in a big stadium, it must be overwhelming. So it's only in four countries then, but lucky for us. We've been listening to this for a long time then.
Yeah, and no wonder that the guy who requested this is also from Amsterdam. His name is Kerpelo. Mm-hmm. He requested this song, and of course we are happy to oblige Ole, since it is a terrific song and it fits perfectly with tonight's theme. So thanks for suggesting this track.
A man with taste.
Yeah, and do you remember only last week we discussed how Killing Joke had a hand in helping other great post-punk bands step up into the limelight?
Certainly do.
We discussed Play Dead and Strange Boutique last week. Great examples. They were touring with Killing Joke, and Killing Joke were giving them a stage. So good guys with a good ear for music as well, not just good musicians.
Absolutely.
Many people think this song is about vampires, but in fact, the inspiration for this work was the book The Samurai Ethic in Modern Japan by the Japanese author Yukio Mishima. The song is about approaching love the same way a soldier approaches battle.
Mm.
You have to be ready to give it your all, to spill blood for your love.
What a great background. That's always the nice thing about this, that we tend to dig up some new stuff that at least I've never heard of, never thought of this connection.
No, this Jess Coleman guy, he's quite an intense character. And I think in reference to this song, he once said, "One must aspire to walk and talk what you write about in your songs and actually live it." The song itself is a distillation of everything we hold dear. I loved the warrior principle, to freedom with blood, if you like. And that exact theme, to freedom with blood, is also the theme of tonight's Big Picture.
The Big Picture.
Yes, indeed, because all this talking about blood and the love for blood made us think about movies, and especially The Lost Boys. And for our listeners that don't know this film yet, it's a teenage vampire movie from 1987, directed by the famous Joel Schumacher, who went on to also direct great blockbusters. This movie is not about sparkly and smooth vampires like Twilight, which is also fun, but
it's kind of girly, no?
Yeah, it's a bit girly and a bit stretched out because they made a whole franchise out of it.
Yeah.
The Lost Boys is fun and action-packed, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And it's about two brothers that move to a new town, and they soon discover that the area they moved into is a haven for vampires. And the older brother eventually gets bitten and also becomes a vampire. And, well, it's just great because of a couple of reasons, I think. I'm sure you'll agree. The style and atmosphere is very, very 80s. Also the soundtrack, the imagery, the fashion. It's a movie with gore and seriousness, but also lighthearted and fun. You can also see the famous 80s movie brats like Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, Kiefer Sutherland, Jamie Gertz. Talking about Kiefer Sutherland, what happened to Kiefer? Haven't seen him for a while.
No, we haven't seen him for a long time, at least not in new movies. He might be just enjoying his pension somewhere on an island off in the Bahamas, or maybe he's just hanging up and down in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, he earned it. Yeah, hanging in the cave, that's a good one, yeah.
From the ceiling.
The thing is, with these vampire movies and also The Lost Boys, vampires are basically a metaphor for psychopaths or sociopaths that walk among us in society and feed off others in order to survive. So the vampires depicted in these movies are also manipulative, dark creatures that hunt for their prey and suck them dry until they can't live anymore. Anyway, you can get a lot of meaning out of these movies, but if you're not looking for meaning, it's just a great movie to watch. So in movie terms, to wrap this one up, it is our favorite vampire movie. Well, at least in the top three, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. These vampires in this particular movie, they're just rock and roll, man. They just want to make you be a vampire as well. They're just so cool.
Mullet-wearing, blood-sucking vampires from the 80s. Awesome.
Who wouldn't want to join that gang? Warmly recommended, this movie.
Yes.
The Lost Boys.
Indeed, my friend. Talking about the soundtrack that I briefly mentioned, it's great. You got INXS, you got Echo and the Bunnymen, Run DMC, much more acts. We're now going to take you into the Infected Trifecta, as well as our Cover Me section.
The Infected Trifecta.
It is time for our special feature. Shortly, we will play three songs that share a certain connection. If you like a puzzle, see if you can find how they are related. The connection could be anything. For instance, a lyrical theme, something to do with the band members, instruments, anything goes. We'll introduce the first song, then play all three back to back. See if you can figure out what the connection between these three songs is before the end of the back-to-back section. We'll tell you right after.
The Infected Trifecta.
And we're going to start off with the Echo and the Bunnymen version of People Are Strange that was originally performed by The Doors.
Ah, yeah.
And it's been a while since you heard the original version, at least for me. How about you?
Yeah, for me too, yeah.
So you'd have to listen real close to hear the difference or the version, or at least that it's not made by The Doors.
Now, this is pretty close to the original, right?
Yes, it is. Maybe that's also due to the fact that Ray Manzarek, that was the keyboard player of The Doors, produced this track together with Echo and the Bunnymen.
That's way cool.
Yeah, it is. And two things that you will hear, maybe, is that you hear Ian McCulloch's nasally voice shine through, and also the piano work is a bit different, but especially it's a bit faster. That's what I like as well. This is People Are Strange by Echo and the Bunnymen.
Cover me!
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the when you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
The infected trifecta.
Infected Trifecta.
This is Lord Crobath from Of Blood and Wine. You are listening to The Infected. The next song is called Of Blood and Wine.
Thank you.
So, first of all, we need to talk about the trifecta. Tonight's trifecta theme was... Did you guess it?
Blood, vampires. I'm going to stick with vampires.
It was vampires, definitely. The first track by Echo and the Bunnymen was from the vampire movie, The Lost Boys. The second song was called Vampires Cry. It's by a band called Nosferatu. And as the grand finale, you heard the world premiere of the track Of Blood and Wine by the band of the same name. So yeah, vampires were the theme of this trifecta. I hope you picked up on that while listening.
Nosferatu, Vampires Cry. I'm quite surprised I didn't hear of them before. Is it like from the heydays of goth rock, early 90s? Never heard of them. I like it. All elements are there.
They're officially a second wave gothic rock band. So they were formed in the late 80s by a guy called Damien Deville, or Damien Devil, if you like. He's a lead guitarist. Yeah. And today, 34 years later, they are still active, sparking whispers of an unnaturally long lifespan for this band.
Yeah.
Over the years, they made about 11 albums, and they've sold over 100,000 copies worldwide of their singles and albums, making them one of the most successful gothic rock bands ever.
Makes me surprised even more that I didn't hear of them.
Well, actually, there are two Nosferatus. At a certain time, there came a split between certain members, and there is now a band called The Nosferatu, as well as the original Nosferatu, and they're both still touring and active, so more than one Nosferatu that you can come across in the world. In the beginning, when they still were all together and there was only one Nosferatu, the band used to drive to concerts and tours in a hearse, a car built to transport dead people. It was a classic black Van den Plas Princess, outfitted with thick carpet, velvet curtains and an 8-speaker stereo system.
Nice.
Talk about cool. That's arriving at your gig in style. I'll put a pic of this infamous car on the site theinfected.nl in the show notes for this episode. So what did you think of the music, Ho?
Yeah, I loved it. By the way, talking about that hearse, that also leaves some room in the back to take some groupies with you on the way home. So they planned that very well.
Yes, or victims, or yeah.
Yeah, or victims that you can take the blood out of.
Minions, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, what I thought about this song, it fits my preferred style really well. And I also hear a kind of a synthesizer that sounds like a church choir in the back.
Oh, yeah.
The singer sounds like Andrew Eldritch. Maybe he's trying a bit too hard because it sounds really the same. But hey, it's some great singing. Yeah, I'm going to search more about Nosferatu.
Yeah.
So thanks for putting it on my agenda. Seriously, never heard of it.
Cool. And usually you always ask me, so how did you come up with this band? And in this case, I didn't. Because the track we played, Vampires Cry by Nosferatu, was actually requested by some very dear friends of the show. It was requested by the band you just heard, Of Blood and Wine.
Aha.
And they were the grand finale of the trifecta then. It was the world premiere of the track Of Blood and Wine by the band Of Blood and Wine. And they will release their first full-length album this Halloween on October 31st, 2020. So as friends of the show, Of Blood and Wine were kind enough to invite us to their crypt. The small cabal that forms Of Blood and Wine are rumored to be vampires originally from Transylvania. They are vocalist Lord Crobath, guitarist Count Christopher, and the bass player is called Marquis Nosferatu.
Great band names. Wow.
Oh, so yeah. The three of them were happy to receive us in their abode in a secluded part of Finland, and we were able to interview them. So about the name of the track and the band Of Blood and Wine. They indeed are the sources of our energy. Blood, said Lord Crobath, raising his glass and smiling. And wine. Life in the dark Finnish woods is good. Our main challenge is to drink blood and survive the daytime. Other bands may have it rougher. What we miss most at the moment are the live performances. We hope that it will be possible to arrange some new shows soon and see and taste our fans.
So I think in Finland they must be approaching very dark and long nights, right?
Yes.
In the winter. Or is that Sweden I'm confused with?
They both have this winter time where there's a lot of darkness and only a few hours of light in midwinter. You have a lot of time to stay inside and listen to music, obviously, during those long winters.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this is why there's relatively so many bands, and especially metal bands and guitar bands and goth rock bands from Finland.
Yeah.
We asked the Lords about their inspiration and about their relationship with music. Crobath said, "Experiencing music is beautiful. I think the wonderful thing about it is that everyone can have their own interpretation of it. If the experience is good, that's all that matters." And Christopher added, Music should evoke emotions of any kind. At least for me, music is one of the greatest goods. You can always rely on it, and it can bring you anything you're able to imagine. And sometimes, even things you never thought of before, and that's the best part. Marquis Nosferatu added to this, brushing back his long hair, music really is the purest form of magic.
Yes, it is. If you're able to transfer emotions and feelings through airwaves, it is magic, I guess. And what I also like about what you just told me, that these guys are living and breathing their persona and band presence. So apart from the band names that I love, I hope they keep on keeping on, also without the performances. We will be keeping in touch with them for sure. And also I'd like to thank them on our behalf for sharing their newest track with us as a premiere. Much appreciated, guys.
That's really cool. Yeah, much obliged. Really cool. Again, you have to realize that this is a young band as well, even though the members are of indefinite age. It's just the beginning for Of Blood and Wine. They say they are continually evolving and their tastes maturing. Nosferatu remarked that actually, my tastes have shifted towards O negative, whereas as a young vampire, I was all about that A positive blood. And Crobath says, yes, the local victims do have better tasting B positive than the ones back in Transylvania, and I really appreciate that. Christopher, coming back to the music, said, in music, back in the day we were all about heavier music, whereas nowadays our music tastes are spanning almost every genre. I have a crypt playlist where I'm playing bands like Witches of London and 616. Both are awesome and they're relatively new bands, just like us. And I'll be sure to have this crypt playlist also linked on our website, theinfected.nl.
Oh, nice. Please do so.
Where you can also find the full interview with Of Blood and Wine.
I think that the voice of the singer, Lord Crobath, the darkness, has a metal feel to it, for sure.
In the end, we were happy enough to escape not only with our lives from Finland, but even with a newfound friendship with these lords. The love for dark music, it seems, can form a bond even stronger than the taste for blood.
So I brought something else to the table that's new and fresh. I'm talking about our Insta Outcast of this week. And that is The Cult Sounds. And The Cult Sounds is a band that has been following us for quite some time now. Thank you for doing so, guys. And they also have been so kind to respond to our Talk to Me invitation on Instagram and Facebook. And the song they submitted perfectly fits our Halloween theme. It's their latest single from August of this year. It's called What Gets Done in the Night. And The Cult Sounds is a band that's hard to give one specific label, I think. I would classify them as playing dark rock. And it's six guys from St. Louis, Missouri, USA. And some of them knew each other from university, and they fit very well together as a group with similar ideas on musical preferences. And they started making music as a project in 2018, so that's also quite fresh. But they sound much more experienced, we'll have a listen later. And their influences, as you can hear in this track, are grunge, goth rock, and also they like horror movies, dark imagery, and old Nintendo games like Castlevania, as I read in an interview. So basically, these guys are friends of the show, but could be friends of us if I read stuff like this, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. These guys, we could get along just fine.
Did you have that game back in the day, Jeroen, Castlevania?
Oh, man, I used to play Castlevania on my Super Nintendo system. That's way back. That's like in the 90s. It's this hardcore game. It's a platformer where you are a character entering a dark castle and you start out with a whip that you can use. And then you can get some upgrades, so it turns into a chain and eventually something with a spiked ball at the end.
Yes.
And you're going to need it because you're going to see some bad guys.
Yeah.
It has this great 8-bit soundtrack as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. But I had the Game Boy version, but I can imagine it's similar. So you had to like struggle your way through all like god medieval levels and then in the end defeat Count Dracula, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he'd send like a million bats at you before you'd ever get a chance to strike at him. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And if you fail, if it's game over, you've got to start all over again. There was no saving back in those days.
No. So it's pretty hardcore, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Yes, yes. And you had just one game and you played it until you couldn't play it anymore. Sorry for the small sidestep, dear listeners. Anyway, what I like about The Cult Sounds is that these guys also do a lot of covers by Fleetwood Mac, David Bowie, and Bauhaus. So that's kind of very different acts that they do. And I really like Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac as a fanboy of Fleetwood Mac. Sorry, guys. I suggest you check it out. It now has an extra layer of mood after The Cult Sounds have handled this track, and also a bit of more balls without losing the spirit of the original. So very well done, guys. So if the music video What Gets Done in the Night isn't any indication of their stage presence, I would love to see them perform live, but under circumstances it will be very hard to do so. Hopefully they can use their time to work on some new material or write lyrics. Anyway, we're gonna play the track right now. Let me shut up for a minute. This is What Gets Done in the Night by The Cult Sounds.
Outcast.
This is a cool track, What Gets Done in the Night. I really liked it. It has this special rhythm. I like the way the drummer uses the floor toms. Also very appropriately an Eddie Van Halen style finger tapping section in there, which is, with Eddie having passed away just recently, a nice tribute. He's the guy that invented this technique that many, many guitarists are thankful for.
Yeah, that energy riff you heard, the quick changes.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and do an impression.
No. But it's interesting you mentioned it. It sounds like AC/DC did it as well, this style, that quick...
It's the style where you use both hands on the fretboard of your guitar, and it enables you to make a different kind of solo sound where you tap many different places on the fretboard.
Yeah.
Thriller of Michael Jackson is another place where you can hear this as a solo also played by Eddie Van Halen. But yeah, many, many guitarists have used this technique. I think all of the metal guitarists just ran away with it immediately. Yeah. Mm. It was a big mystery in the beginning when their first record came out, how he was able to produce these sounds, and they thought it was trickery in studio, but actually he'd come up with this, and everybody has been using that technique ever since.
Yeah, it's quick. Unbelievable.
So do you know how we ended up with this suggestion from the Cold Sounds?
Well, they've been following us for a while, but tell me, because you're handling the Insta account that I submitted it, probably.
Yeah. Oh, it's my bad, because we did a song by the Cult a couple of episodes back.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember.
And I usually tag all the artists that we have in the show on Insta, because I want them to know that we've been talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I tagged the Cult Sounds, and then I got a message from the Cult Sounds saying, hey, hi, you probably think we are the Cult. This is not exactly true. We're a different band, but we've been listening to your show, and we think it's great. So we're following you, and maybe you can play us on the show someday. And I thought, well, that's cool. These guys are okay. So I checked out their music, and it really did... strike my fancy. So
so those hashtags on Instagram actually do something, Jeroen. That's quite nice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and these guys are smooth and smart enough to turn a mix-up into an opportunity and eventually a play on this epic show. So thanks, guys. Thanks for reaching out, and thanks for making our acquaintance. Love your music.
Indeed we do. To take this fresh two tracks that we just listened to and back into the 80s, we're going to talk about the Cocteau Twins and play them. And I'm talking about Blood Bitch, because we have to stay in our theme of this week. Blood, vampires, Halloween. Yes, indeed, sir. So we covered them already in season one, I believe, Cocteau Twins. So I will keep this brief this time around. I can't stop myself to play them again, especially with a title like Blood Bitch.
Fitting.
So it's a track of the first album that they made, that's Garlands from 1982, long time ago. And I looked it up, Garlands, what does it mean? We're Dutch, we want to look up what it means. It turns out a garland is a decorative string with flowers or leaves that can be worn around the neck.
Okay.
So yeah. I can't match it to the music we're going to play. I'm sure neither can you. I also looked at the album cover, but no.
It doesn't sound like flower power to me, but okay.
Most definitely not. Dead flowers, maybe. Dead stuff. But anyway, so the Cocteau Twins cannot be named without naming Liz Fraser. That's the singer. She has a voice of an angel. But on Garlands, they were still in their formative stage. So she's singing with a lot of vibrato on almost every song, and I believe that was the thing back in the day, right?
That was a trend, yeah, definitely. A sort of a goth yodeling contest between female singers. I don't know, Susie did it, Nina Hagen did it.
Yeah.
And obviously Liz Fraser did it as well, so it must have been a trend.
Yes, I think so, but that style gets really old really soon, if you ask me. It's not really listener-friendly, but luckily she stopped this particular style after the first album, because later on they would transition into a more commercial and dream pop kind of band. But their earlier albums, and this is the first one, yeah, it's just right up my alley. So Garlands consists of 8 grim and dark tracks with a total playing time of only 35 minutes in total. So quite short, And it also took them only 7 days to compose these 8 tracks, so they were quite fast. While the album suffers a bit from the use of a drum machine and several songs that are overly repetitious, I must be honest, Garlands offers a sound, while not in line with their following work, it still played an important role in defining the 4AD Records sound of the early 80s and post-punk in general, I think. So, very worthwhile, and if you haven't heard of this album, I suggest you check it out. It's all available on Spotify.
Yeah, they've been very influential, and I'm not the biggest fan of the Cocteau Twins, but their early work I do like. So, I haven't heard this album for a long time, so let's go check out Blood Bitch. We'll be right back.
The Infected.
So that was Belphegor by Belphegor, and with these two tracks we've really descended down into the cellars, basically gone down in tempo and amped up the atmosphere a bit. Belphegor is actually a tip from Philip Taylor from England. Hi Phil, thanks for this suggestion, great track. And Belphegor was a German Gothic New Wave trio from the early 1980s, formed by singer and guitarist Michael Klaus. The band was formed in 1982 in Düsseldorf, as part of the movement called Neue Deutsche Welle, a distinctly German style of new wave music that owes a lot to both the early UK goth scene as well as the European punk movement. Now, Belphegor made a couple of singles and two albums. The first few releases were on a small German label, but the self-titled 12-inch EP Belphegor was also imported in the UK, and it would become their breakthrough. Because after this 12-inch, in 1983, they were picked up by major label Elektra, who financed their next album Belphegor, and thanks to the backing of this major label, the band supported U2 on the Unforgettable Fire tour in Europe. pretty cool in terms of exposure, right? So you'd think being on the cusp of this success and international breakthrough, they would seize the moment. However, in 1985, Klaus dissolved the band because he claimed he'd had enough of the rock and roll lifestyle. The other band members did continue in different bands, but Michael Klaus indeed quit music and went on to study medicine in Germany. I guess he figured that, you know, saving people and curing people was probably more worthwhile than doing drugs and groupies. So I have to respect that choice. Yeah.
Saving us from infection, probably.
Who knows? Who knows? He might be finding the cure right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, even though Belphegor didn't continue after 1985, in those 2 years they left us some beautiful music, and I really enjoyed this track, their breakthrough 12-inch from 1984. What did you think, Hof?
I really liked it, and it's also quite rare to see a 12-inch version being shorter than their kind of regular version, if that's a...
Yeah, it's only a bit over 4 minutes, so I think if I would have bought it back in the day, I would probably have been pissed off a bit, but there may have been more tracks on the 12-inch, I'm not sure, probably is the case.
It wasn't really cheap back in the day, right? 12 inches.
No, I remember them being about $15 or euros if you translate it to these days. And if you're a guy who just gets pocket money from his parents, that is an investment. Ooh. Yeah,
it is. It feels like a soundtrack to a movie or something in which a vampire is roaming through the night on a rainy night, especially in search of his next victim. The rhythm that you hear kind of sounds like a heartbeat, a pulsating heartbeat. Also hear women scream in the background, little screams here and there. Nice.
Yeah, it reminds me of that remark that Count Christopher of Blood and Wine made. Music should evoke emotions, and it can bring anything you are able to imagine in your mind's eye. And this track is definitely something that conjures up images, and with the way that it's built.
Yeah.
It's really built to deliver an audio landscape or something that you can envision.
Soundscape, yeah.
Yeah.
Emotion, feeling. Yeah, I like it. Infected, talking about emotions, feelings, soundscapes, we have one more track coming up for you guys. It's Dead Can Dance.
Ooh, nice.
It's a very diverse band. They're from Melbourne, Australia. It mainly consists of Lisa Gerrard and Brandon Perry. They're also a couple, still to this day.
Mm.
And they quickly moved to London after they started making music together because there was more success to be had in London. Success meaning to get signed by a record label than there was in Australia back in those days.
Yeah, there were more British labels than Australian labels, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
So smart move. But they just moved there in the hope that they would get a record deal?
But they also put some elbow grease and work into it, because after arriving in London, they bought some bicycles and then they rode around with their tape cassette demos that Brandon had made, and they dropped them off at several record companies, but not a single one of them responded, unfortunately. 1 year afterwards, they received a letter from Ivo Watts, and he was saying, "I can't stop thinking about this music. Can you come see me, please?"
Wow.
And then they were signed by the famous alternative label 4AD.
Ah.
Yes. That means that they were record label mates with Clan of Xymox, also the Cocteau Twins. I thought it would be a fitting title for this week. So it's nice and it's violent. Also, this band is quite hard to fit into one genre. They started off with a very raw-sounding album, self-titled, in 1984, with very little singing. And that's also where this track is on. And later on, they continued to make dark soundscapes, ethereal music, and also recently they're doing folk or chant-type music, I believe. They also went to the Concertgebouw. That's a famous classical concert hall, yes, in Amsterdam. And Lisa and Brandon feel like music is a packaged emotion. It is a poetic language between people. So it's like the magic that of Blood and Wine mentioned. And their ultimate goal is to hit people in the heart.
Thank you.
One thing that has not changed is their ability to make you think and reflect. At least that's my experience. It's music that makes me feel something or gets me thinking, and that's what I'm looking for, with or without singing.
I can imagine. And these guys of Dead Can Dance, they really are able to hit you right in the heart and convey an emotion. My personal favorite from them is a track which is on Ion. And some of the music on that album is really intense. And there's one particular track on there. I'll look it up which one it is, which makes me so sad that I don't want to play it on this show because I don't want people to experience that emotion. But they have this interesting ability to really pull you in their music. And they use really interesting instruments as well. I think in this track, you can hear tabla drums, oboes, not your average goth or post-punk type of instrumentarium either. So a lot of thought, a lot of energy, and a lot of different elements into this music make it really worthwhile to listen to.
I'm eager to find out what track that is, but let us save something for the third season.
Oh, cliffhanger. We have a cliffhanger. Yeah, okay. That's cool. We're not going to play it, though. It really gets me down, man. I don't want to do it.
No, okay. Sounds perfect for winter time, anyway.
The Infected.
So, dear friends, we have reached the end of our season 2. Already, time flies, and we will take a break to recharge, right?
Yes, we have to.
A report back to you for season 3 through our website, that is theinfected.nl, and our Instagram and Facebook channels that will be found at TheInfectedNL, that is, at TheInfectedNL.
Yeah, follow us, follow us, follow us.
Yes, please do. And if you can't wait for more, check out the extra content on our site.
Yeah, it needs more love, people. It needs more love.
We have some mixed specials with no talking, and you can still benefit from no shipping costs as well on all of our merchandise with the code INFECTME.
And we have the coolest face masks ever.
So that should be a interesting one for the coming time. For now, we're going to enjoy some horror movies and the Halloween season. We sincerely hope you liked our podcast so far, and we hope to see you soon. Right now, we will go into the night to hunt for some fresh blood and then return to our coffins and call it a night, everybody. See you soon.